You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tribal Headquarters, All Marine Radio. Does anybody suck the life out of the room or the air out of the room like Donald Trump? He's just, the last 24 hours, he's just laid the wood to the UK. Yeah. Talked about the Brexit and his conversations with Theresa May, how she was screwing it up, trying to do a soft Brexit, how, you know, trade with the United States, you know, could have stepped in, whatever, that they would be deficient relative to the EU, blah, blah, blah. Hey, she said no, so whatever, man. Europe's being destroyed, Bill, by illegal immigration and, it's kind of an interesting intellectual question, because your first reaction is, oh, every place should be a melting pot, and because we're Americans, that's how we think, right? That's how our country is. Welcome. President's being blamed for the bombing of London in World War II. Every lunatic in London is out marching against him for some reason. Yeah, so, here's the intellectual question. You have a nation, right? Who decides who comes to your nation? Do you? Or does somebody else decide? Who decides how your nation evolves? Do you decide as a sovereign nation, or does somebody else? And if we just take everybody, what happens if that fundamentally changes what we are? Is that something that we want? Unfettered immigration, whatever the next wave is, and then we as a nation just adjust to it. I think most people would reject that notion. Now people say, oh, that sounds racist, and you're anti-this, you're anti-that. No, but we're a mature nation. It's not like we have, you know, prairie to settle, and we're not Australia, for God's sakes. We're not going to empty out the prisons to settle this son of a bitch, because we need people. We're a developed nation. We need people, but we don't want people that come here and then are the majority of them are going to go on our welfare rolls. That's not what we're looking for. So it's immigration policy, pretty interesting stuff. So what happens if I told you that not only will they go on your social welfare rolls, but if you look at France and you look at Germany, Germany has certain areas that are quote-unquote no-go, according to A. Merkel. Yeah, she said this a couple months ago. Now, it had been written about in the German media, but it hadn't been largely spoken about by her, especially. And so she talked about it. Yeah, it's something that has to change. And we've all seen what's happened in France. You know, France has a problem with, and again, right now, it's Islamic, Muslim, unfettered immigration, not assimilating, not embraced. How do we deal with this? That turns violent. So, anyway, so it's interesting, but Donald Trump, man, you know, lays the wood to NATO. And again, he's right about NATO. And guess what? He's probably right about Brexit. So I think one of the things that you see from him, and again, I'm not a big guy about, I don't particularly care for his style of doing it. But I do, there's elements of his style that I think are refreshing, and that is throw the carcass in the middle of the room. For decades, American presidents have gone to Europe and said, hey, you know, we'd really like to encourage everybody to not have your military go away. And they got blown off. And, you know, out of the sake of propriety and don't want to embarrass anybody in public, and, you know, these relationships are so important, you know, American presidents didn't say anything. Just came back and said, you know, I tried. And got blown off. I like that he's not taking it. Yeah, I'm going to let you guys have it. Now, and the other thing is that everybody wants to then make it personal. Oh, you know, you said this, and then people try to make it personal. No, I don't hate him. But, for instance, he always says that he loves President Xi of China. Oh, we have a great relationship. But he just announced tariffs on $200 billion more of Chinese goods. Yeah, well, I don't know how you treat your friends, but I can tell you how I treat mine. That's not the way I do it. So, but again, but I like that he's, you know, throw it out there. Throw it out there. Throw the carcass in the center of the room, and now we'll fight about it. I don't hate you for taking a different position. Well, I might hate you a little bit. I don't hate you for taking a different position for me, but this is what side I'm on. And maybe at the end of the day, you know, we agree to disagree. But I'm not gonna do the political thing where I come and I pose for the picture, you know, and then I say what I want to say behind closed doors, but I don't embarrass anybody, and then I just get blown off. Because you know what, for me anyway, what that falls into is don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. Yeah. So D. Trump, you know, style points, no bueno, man. No bueno. But again, I said, you know, relative, you know, he took so much shit for the immigrant, right? We become Nazi Germany. Roar. Okay, I don't know if you've checked your history lately. All right, if the liberals have, and the media people that went hysterical about that. Okay. But not a very good comparison. I'll leave it at that. Historically, moderately inaccurate. Okay? And I'm being kind. Were I the president, I would have kept everybody incarcerated. I would have said, sorry, I'm not releasing anybody. Those little kids are staying where they're at. This is the law of the land. Okay? Parents came in here illegally. They have to be prosecuted. Okay? I'm not releasing and playing this game, this catch and release, so I can let Congress off the hook. This is the law of the land, and we're going to live with the law of the land until the people that make the laws in the land, until they unscrew themselves, which we all won't happen. No, won't happen, because the last thing they'll ever do is work together to solve the problems of the American people. They don't do that. So, yeah, I would have just said, okay, then we'll burn it down. Stand by. We will hold these people for as long as it takes for you people to act. Yeah, how about that? Well, you won't get reelected. oh, well, I wouldn't get reelected. I'd get to go home, right? I'd get to go home and watch the ball game, get to go home and hang out and go for walks with my dog. So, oh, okay, let me tell you what we're going to do because I'm fired up today about the show. Now, interestingly enough, all right, interestingly enough, and again, I know there's people that hate Donald Trump, and look, he's an easy guy to hate. I will say this, in my opinion, he gets points for not playing by the rules, by standing up and saying, hey, the dude with the crown on, the emperor over there, he's actually naked, okay? Because what we've had in the White House have been consecutive gutless boobs, in my opinion. Okay? And, again, Barack Obama, an awful president. Okay? Cool, maybe the coolest president ever, which is why we have such a difficult time with him being an awful president. Okay? The coolest dude ever. Clinton was pretty cool. He's not really cool, but he's a pretty incredible politician. So, Bill Clinton. Yeah, if you can't say Bill Clinton was a good politician, you need to go to therapy, okay? Because he was. That's a straight up fact. So, having said that, what we're doing on the program today that I'm excited about. We got talking about alcohol and PTSD a week ago after it had been rolling around my head for a bit. And what was rolling through my head was, it's one of the most toxic cocktails that you can brew in our culture, right? In our warrior culture. Yet we don't look. I've had all these guys on my show, you know, from World War II, Vietnam, Korea. And one of the universals is, you know, it's interesting because, you know, they'll say, yeah, I don't drink. Oh, really? No, I had to stop. Why is that? Well, I've got this stuff inside me. They don't say it like this, but the truth is I have this stuff inside me. But we as a culture, and I mentioned this the other day at some point, we said, when I started to think about talking about, hey, people that are dealing with post-traumatic stress, you have to look at them and say, you can't drink. You have to stop. Okay? I could feel my skin begin to crawl because it's like so counterculture to, you know, the Marine Corps in particular. And the Army as well. You know, train hard, fight hard, right? Go on libo hard, right? Live hard. Yeah, it's that culture. Yeah, not so much. Well, yeah, all those things, but it doesn't work like that. And I will tell you, it's been really interesting as I talk to guys that are coming on. It's the truth that they know, right? And to me, the missing link is we don't look at Marines who are going through it and say emphatically, you need to stop drinking because it's not going to end well. It's going to end horribly for you. More than likely, you being alone, blah, 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 blah. Veteran homelessness. What percentage of veteran homelessness is fueled by alcohol? Do you think that number is a low number or high number? I'll tell you what, I don't know what the number is, but if I had to make a guess, I would say it's a relatively high number. So today you're going to hear Ken Rogers, who produced the documentary Bravo! Common Men, Uncommon Valor. If you haven't seen it, it's on Amazon Prime. You should check it out. Single best documentary I've ever seen. Relative to combat and what the experience is like, and in particular, some of the most riveting interviews I've ever seen about the experiences that these young guys had, most of them 18 and 19 years old as Marines at Khe Sanh in the early part during the Tet Offensive of 1968. So Ken's going to come on and talk about I texted him the other day. Hey, do you have 30 minutes to come on? He goes, yeah, what are we going to talk about? I said, alcohol and PTSD. He goes, oh, I know about those. Yeah, absolutely. So you're going to hear from Ken. And then you're going to hear from a friend of mine. His name is Ross Pape. Ross lives in East Grand Forks, Minnesota, which is right across the river from Grand Forks, North Dakota. I met Ross and his family. I served in Iraq with his oldest brother, Riley. And Riley was with Alpha Company for, excuse me, 1st Recon Battalion in 2004. They were doing stuff in Ramadi and in the Fallujah area. So I met him there, and then Riley was killed after he came home. Riley, no kidding, American war hero. But he was killed after he came home in a motorcycle accident about 3 weeks before we were supposed to meet at a Memorial Day event in northwest Minnesota. So I'd never met the family before. So that night I go over and I introduce myself. Ross is the number two of three brothers. Ross actually was interested in joining the Marine Corps, which is why we have him on the program. And then Riley decided he was interested, Riley being older, joined the Marine Corps. And then Ross says, I'm not doing what he did, so he joined the Army. He's a cab guy. Yeah, exactly. Those guys with the Stetson hats and the Spurs and all that, that's them. But I love that stuff, honestly. I was always like a cavalry, you know, I used to love reading about Custer and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And the cab guys, it's pretty cool when they roll out their pageantry, their boots and spurs and all that stuff. They got a little bit of swag to them, so it's pretty cool. But anyway, Ross was a member of 3rd ACR. He was actually in Iraq in 2004 when the 1st Marine Division ripped with the 82nd Airborne. So I think he and his brother, I don't know if they were there at the same time. If they didn't, they missed each other by weeks. But Ross, out on the Syrian border, at a place called Al-Qaim Husseiba. Actually, it's in that area are the last elements of the Islamic State. They're getting whacked too, by the way. But that's a different story. So Ross, so he's there with the 3rd ACR. I meet Ross when he comes home for the funeral. I think he had been redeployed to Iraq. So he came home. The unit came home, 3rd ACR came home, and then they were back in Iraq when Riley was killed. So I meet Ross at the funeral, and, you know, and we become friends. His youngest brother, Ryan, is a senior in high school. Meet Ryan, and that summer, Ryan, I want to say a couple weeks after the funeral, Ryan graduates from high school, and later that summer, he enlists in the Marine Corps. And he, out of boot camp, he joins, 1st Recon Battalion, like his brother. And then he, you know, he's an Iraq, Afghanistan guy. And then he's getting ready. He reenlists, goes to 1st Force Reconnaissance, part of they're doing static line night jumps, right? The night jump in Normandy. And the pararriggers do not connect the strap that clips on to the wire inside the aircraft to the chute. And Ryan goes out of the aircraft and plunges 1,500 feet, something like that, in about 8 seconds and is killed. So Ross had gotten out of the 3rd ACR, and he had... he started farming because that's what the Papes do. They're farmers. And so he's going to join us today. So not only does he deal with his combat deployments with the 3rd ACR, I think the second and third time he went back, he was a sniper in addition to the other things he did. Because in Minnesota, they grow up with a rifle in their hand. So, anyway, Ross is going to join us. And, yeah, how about that for a little bit of a load? Not only do you deal with your own issues, then you deal with the deaths of, you know, your brothers, the guys that you were going to farm with. And not only your oldest brother dies, but then you get close with your younger brother, and then he dies. So you're going to hear Ross going to give his thoughts on alcohol and post-traumatic stress. So he's a good dude. He's funny. And our families have been close since 2005, since we met. So they're going to join us today. And it's kind of interesting when you talk to them about, hey, what do you want to talk about? And every one of them has the same reaction. Oh, absolutely, man. I'd love to talk about it. And again, and the reason I bring this up is that for whatever reason, and I guess it's just a cultural reason, it's not the way for us to look at somebody to love them as leaders, which we do, and not say, you have to stop drinking. It is a leadership failure. Is a leadership failure. One of the things that got me on this subject to begin with was, I don't know the first incident that made me start thinking about it, but in my head, one of the things the Commandant said in one of the interviews I've done with him is, when you give advice to young Marines, what do you say? And General Nello is very plain spoken. He says, I tell them not to drink. Now, that's not, again, we're talking about the Marine Corps, right? What? Single most destructive thing I've seen in my career. What ends more careers? What destroys more lives? And then alcohol? Nothing. And it's not even close. Number two is not even in the same zip code, county, state, geographical region. That's how far the difference is in terms of the destructiveness of alcohol. Now, I'm not, Mac, you sound like crazy, man, but no. If you can drink recreationally, then, you know, I don't socially have one or two. If you can do that, then what I am saying is that while you're dealing with post-traumatic stress, you need to stop it altogether because it unleashes the beast. And that beast, if the beast just did damage to you, it would be one thing, but it doesn't. The beast damages your family, your friends, your professional life. The beast is a predator. And my point in all this discussion is we don't like to say that to people. Yeah, stop. Yeah, but no. Well, okay, yeah. No. No. Got it? Stop. Can't do it. So it's interesting. So you're gonna hear two people come on today and talk about that stuff. So the chef is, if you're looking for all food Friday, the chef struggles with some health issues. And when he isn't disciplined, he gets sick. Yeah. So running around, acting like a big shot, not being disciplined, not sticking to his diet, blah, 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 made himself sick, and now he's on the disabled list. So you won't hear from him. Hopefully next week he will rejoin us after he's appropriately counseled. And so he will rejoin us. The Commandant set the basic school. So sometime early this morning, my phone zips, bzz, and I just got a text from Northwest Minnesota. I'm listening today. Well, to the papes, what is up? The Commandant is speaking at the basic school. And so my son tells me that. And I said, he's a baller. And he said, he speaks to every class. Now, I don't know in my experience if I've known a Commandant speak to one class, let alone everyone. So I like the Commandant. Anyway, so on this Friday morning, good morning. So in about 5 minutes, if I have time to do the news later, I'll do the news. But in about 5 minutes, you're going to hear from Ken Rogers. He's a Vietnam guy, a documentary producer. Write it down. Okay, it's not for the faint of heart either. And don't have your wife and all, you know, your kids around when you watch it. Watch it by yourself. Okay, it's called Common Men, Bravo, exclamation mark. Common Men, Uncommon Valor. Good Friday morning to you. Don't touch that dial. This is dedicated to the toughest people I know. Okay, the toughest human being I know is my older sister. Okay, and she's having surgery today. So a little outpatient surgery. So good luck, Peg. Toughest family I know is the Papes. So this is dedicated to the toughest people in my life that I know.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
for this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah.
Hold on.
Yeah, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You got to win.